All right, welcome back to another Baseball America Prospect Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. I am joined today by my colleague, Josh Norris, and we are going to be breaking down the New York Yankees top 30 list. Josh, you've been doing the Yankees for quite a long time. Kind of overview here. How does this list compare to, you know, some of the previous Yankees lists you've done, particularly over the last 3 to 5 years?
It's not as good as those ones, especially when you account for the Weathers trade, which cost them a little bit of depth. Like, they didn't create any, you know, slam dunk top one, two, three in their system, but this system needed depth after that. I think it's like 20 prospects they traded between like July and now. So that cost the system a lot of depth. They didn't deal any of their huge pieces, but, you know, when you have to go 30 deep, you deal 20 guys, you're going to start running into some guys you're writing up that don't have much of a chance. So it's as shallow as it's been. There's some fun stuff at the top, but it's pretty shallow right now.
Yeah. And I think, you know, shallow comparatively for the Yankees versus maybe some other organizations that don't have, you know, as much resources and the ability to acquire a variety of players across all different acquisition windows. But yeah, I think when you talk about this system and then you talk about this system in comparison to some of the other systems within their division, even, it's pretty shallow. And, you know, we have seen, at least with the Blue Jays and the Orioles and to a lesser extent the Red Sox, some willingness to spend on a major league team, that, you know, they're not unique any longer in this division in terms of their ability to spend on sort of both ends. So let's dive into the system then. Let's talk a little bit about some of the prospects here, and some of the guys here at the top. It's not a bad top of the system. There are some exciting players. So how difficult was it to come to the ultimate decision to rank George Lombard Jr. at one versus some of the other available options? And what were you hearing out there as you were beating the bushes, talking to scouts and folks?
You know, it wasn't that tough a decision, but there were other contenders. Like, if I wanted to put it all on the table, I would have gone with Kilby, number one, because he obviously had a really, really loud start to his career. But that's just what it was, a loud start of his career in a Florida State league that was probably dealing with, you know, most of the guys were complex league guys at that point. And it was late August, so you're beating up on some pretty bad competition. You have to take context into account, but you give credit where it's due. We slotted him in the middle of it after the draft, and then you got, I think, like three or four scouts texting me like, this guy is the cat's meow. And I went three with him because, you know, Lombard did the same thing 2 years ago. He tore it up in low A, scuffled a little bit in high A, then tore it up in high A and scuffled in double A. And Rodriguez, you know, he had an excellent year, one of the best starters in the minors, period. That's Elmer Rodriguez, I should say. One of the best starters in the minor leagues, period, last year. Like, I think it was like second to Jonah Tong in strikeouts. And all minor leaguers, which is pretty impressive for a guy that got for Omar Narvaez and who should figure somewhere maybe in the rotation at some point this year. But those three were the guys. I went with Lombard because, you know, I had heard so much good stuff about him. He's still very young. It's not unusual for him, for a guy to get blown up a little bit at the upper levels at that age, especially now with the minor league system that we have. There are holes to fix, and he might not have quite the ceiling he did at this time, maybe a little, you know, 11 months ago, really, it's when he started to pop. But he should be a long-term major leaguer, and I'm going to bank on him starting pretty strong this year. Like, just to put it in perspective, he's younger than a lot of the college draft guys you're going to have coming out of this year's class still. So I would expect a guy that age, if you plop him in the Eastern League, to get beat up pretty good. And he took his lumps, but he's got, you know, the big league bloodlines. He knows how to handle that sort of stuff. People rave about the makeup. I don't see why he shouldn't have a big this year and at least reach Triple A.
Yeah, I think that's very likely. And like, in the process, I don't know if you talk to them internally. Do you think it's likely that, you know, he returns to Double A to begin the season? He struggled at periods, but I felt like there was improvement kind of down the stretch from him. I guess as he got his sea legs somewhat there in Double A, the power wasn't great. The batting average was still pretty low. He struck out more than you'd like, but was walking, and you know, there were some like under the hood internal metrics where he was, you know, catching more barrels and that sort of thing. He's such an impressive defender too. And it's like not necessarily like Omar Vizquel or, you know, Angleton Simmons or like something like that, but just the little things that he does, where he positions himself on cutoff throws and just the reads that he makes on particular plays and decisions there at shortstop are really high level, that he's, you know, a winning kind of a ball player. Now I'm going to follow up a little bit on that, Josh. How much do you think he could potentially disappoint Yankees fans hearing this? Because in a lot of ways, this isn't all that dissimilar from, you know, Anthony Volpe, though I do think this is a superior athlete, a bigger engine, still more upside. But it's kind of a glove-first guy that makes a lot of good plays, but, you know, is somewhat valuable, but could be a hole in the lineup potentially too. So how much of a Volpe concern is there with Lombard? Because I do sort of hear more knowledgeable prospect-centric Yankees fans talk that way about the two.
Well, then they're very knowledgeable, because that is a name that was brought up by evaluators. This could be that type of player. It's not a perfect comp, obviously, for a lot of reasons, but there are holes that he has to close before he can, you know, get to his offensive ceiling and be that kind of difference maker. You know, I might be the last person on the Volpe bandwagon, or at least believer, I guess. I think the shoulder played more of a role than it was played out to be last year. And, you know, he's still got some big hits for them in the playoffs too, if I remember correctly. But, you know, he's also super young, was moved super quickly. I didn't mean to get on a Volpe tangent here, but yeah, it's kind of that, the term I like to use, and I use it often, is spicy vanilla. Like, he's not going to be, you know, a superstar, or like the kind of player we project Connor Griffin to be. But he's going to be a player that, if he reaches his ceiling and closes the holes that he needs to close, could hit in your lineup for a long time and, you know, hold down shortstop for the long term. So is it the sexiest number one in the world? No, it's not. But it's still a pretty good player if he reaches his ceiling.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And, you know, I still think when you consider, you know, how quickly Lombard was moved out of high A. It was only 24 games. I know he was ripping it up. But maybe just giving him like another couple of months to settle in, I think people would look at him much differently than they do. If he had gone to double A and maybe had some of those struggles in the later second half of the season over a month and a half, you know, 7 to 8 week period of time, I think the conversation would be a little bit different around him. Let's move on to our next question here. How is this system better or worse than it was last year? Based on your comments at the top of the show, I think I know what direction you're going here, Josh.
I mean, it's worse. I mean, there's really no two ways about it. It's just not very deep at all. Like, if Cam Schlittler pitches a few fewer innings, although I think we have the new rule now, he might have graduated on service time, but that might make it look a lot different. But, you know, losing Schlittler is a big deal. Losing all those players that they traded for Doval and Jake Bird and Ryan McMahon and David Bednar and Ryan Weathers. It hurts. Like, you're dealing with players at the back that in a normal year I wouldn't rank, at least maybe not in the top 30, they'd be 31 through 40. And, you know, it's kind of understated, but the turmoil with their international director situation did cost them one of the best prospects on the market there, who wouldn't have been in the book, because the book goes, you know, before Christmas, but he'd be eligible now when we're talking about him. So that would make it look a little different, but they have to do a job of building the system's depth back up. I don't know how you do that without trading from your big league roster, and if you are contending, you're probably not trading from your big league roster, or at least much from it. So it's going to be a hard task ahead to get this system back up, you know, and you're probably going to lose more players to graduation, you know, this year. It wouldn't be surprise me at all if you lost a guy like LeGrandje to graduation, or maybe an Elmer Rodriguez to graduation. Those are outside shots, but if they graduate from your system, well, that depth gets even thinner. It's probably replaced by whoever you draft. But right now, it's among the lowest it's been during my tenure at BA, and this is my 13th season. And I've been, if you know my backstory, I've been covering the Yankees in some form or fashion since 2008. So it's been a while.
It's been a while. It has been a long time you've been covering this Yankee system. Almost two decades now. Let me follow up with that. How much have they been hurt in terms of, you know, what the system looks like at the top, the depth, upside, because of some of these international guys that haven't hit over the last couple of years? I'm totally drawing a blank on his name. I don't think he's no longer on the top 30, but
who's the short Roderick Arias?
Roderick Arias, exactly. But there's been others as well, like that whole FCL team really hasn't been as hype as you thought. And then even some of the guys like Pereira, who's now with the White Sox, and then like Lalanne, like hasn't really pitched since then.
He's been hurt. I mean, injuries are injuries. They're going to happen to every team. And that, if I remember, FCL team was a lot of pitching. You know, it was LeGrande. It was Lalanne who's, you know, dealt with shoulder injuries. And Manuel Tejeda, who kind of came back in the fall league a little bit. He dealt with a major knee injury last year. But there's a lot of guys. I mean, Francisco Valerio didn't hit in his debut season. Brando Maia looked like he was kind of getting on track, but he got hurt. There's been a lot of injuries, too. There's just a ton of injuries that have come back to bite guys. I'm looking at them. Right? Angel Urania never did anything. They've also, since we've talked about this, we mentioned another trade guy, TJ Brumfield. Hurt their upper level depth a little bit. They traded him for Angel Chavilly. And I'm looking at it here, like Chase Hampton, Thatcher Hurd, those guys. Obviously, Hurd has yet to make his pro debut. Hampton was one of the better pitching prospects in the game until he got missed. He missed last season, missed most of the season prior. And I've said before, when I saw him in the FCL, he was an org guy. I mean, it was awful. I hope it comes back. It would be really nice comeback story, but you know, it was a tough one to put at nine. That's kind of how low the system's value was at that point. They've got some interesting guys that came out of the draft, but you know, injuries and underperformance have really, really hurt this group. So I really no two ways about it. It's just not. Oh, another one. Manny Cedeño didn't hit in the FCL either, or the DSL. So it's just underperformance and injuries are, you know, it's the 1-2 punch that you really don't want to get hit with.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the upside in this system now is kind of like their last two drafts, which is heavily pitching focused, especially the guys that rank higher. And, you know, we'll see, you know, where some of that goes, because it can go a variety of directions. So that's kind of where the upside is. But that said, let's move on to the next question. Who is your guess to be next year's number one prospect? I think we already talked about him a little bit, but I'll hand the mic over to you on this one.
It's probably going to be Kilby if he does what I and the industry think he's going to do. This was a premium bat out of the draft, and he, you know, surprised with a little bit more power than people would have thought. But contact and impact is I asked someone in their organization what makes him such a good hitter, and he said, well, he puts the bat on the ball a lot, and he makes contact at the right, you know, he makes the right kind of contact. Like, it's that simple, huh? Yeah. Okay. I don't think this is rocket science we're doing here. So I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think he's going to play shortstop, but he's not going to need to, because you've got George Lombard there, and you might have Anthony Volpe there. I've heard, you know, second base, I've heard outfield with him, but it's going to be a bat, and that's the name of the game. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's there. Would it be, is he like a slam dunk? Not necessarily. Like, if Rodriguez doesn't graduate, maybe he's there. Lombard, I don't expect to graduate, but if he, you know, goes out and is a world beater this year, maybe it's a dogfight. Maybe it's a dogfight at 1-2 that would be really fun. So I would put my hypothetical chips on Kilby, but, you know, it's not, you know, the race ain't over yet. We haven't even started. It's February 17th. It's a holiday here in North Carolina. It's Michael Jordan's birthday.
Yeah, it is. It's the day after my wife's birthday, which is a holiday here in Massachusetts, at least in my household. So there you go. Yeah, I don't even know if there's necessarily like another contender to be the number one in this system otherwise. Like, I guess if Lombard doesn't graduate, Ben Hess.
Yeah, I
Bryce
mean, there's.
Cunningham. I mean, like, it really, like, and then after that, I don't even think there's anyone that you would not get laughed at for bringing up as a potential number one next year.
But
So
you know
even
what?
beyond Kilby being good, there's an element
Here's
of he doesn't have a lot. He's already lapped the field, kind of.
the thing about this. This is why this we have these jobs, and it's not just an easy job to do. Last year, if I had said Cam Schlittler would be challenging for number one prospect in the system by midseason, I would have gotten laughed at. But he developed and he found all this velocity and he found command with it. And now he looks like a, mid rotation to front end starter. Like some th those guys do happen and they're pretty, that's why we do this job. I mean, I got laughed at when I put him at two in the midseason. I think it worked out for him. That start of his in the postseason was one of the best starts I've ever seen in the big leagues, period. Sometimes they come out of nowhere.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think this organization does have a track record of being able to take something and turn it into something else. And Schlittler was certainly the most recent and maybe most extreme example of that. So that kind of
And let's
leads
not
into my
pretend this
next question.
organization hasn't produced stuff. Like, it's been a while, but Aaron Judge, pretty darn good.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Austin Wells, pretty darn good. For all the crap he gets, Anthony Volpe is a big leaguer, and that's better than a lot of the stuff in the farm system right now. They have produced that, and they've produced tradable prospects too to get them the reinforcement. That's the name of the game too. Like, you have to be able to have something in there to trade and get those guys.
Well, that leads into my next question. That's where I was segueing right into, Josh, and you kind of already touched on a little bit, but what is this organization good at developing?
I would say it's good at developing pitching, or at least high-end velocity. The strides that Schlittler took are pretty impressive. Like he, the velocity with command is pretty impressive. They've done a decent job with LeGrandJe. I think I'm going to touch on him later this week. I think there's an interesting comparison to be drawn between him and somebody else who broke out in the big leagues last year. And I think in the past they've shown velocity as well. So it's just right now they are really, really, really at an unfortunate crossroads with a lot of injuries and underperformance. But I think you can usually count on some high-end velocity and some powerful arms coming out of this organization. That's the kind of stuff they target, like big, physical, powerful guys. And if Hampton and Hurd, the 2H club, come back with a vengeance this year, maybe things look a little different. I think a little rosier at midseason, but their careers were on hold and they really look like the Yankees obviously think they see something with Chase Hampton still because they kept him on the 40 man. So if he looks like 2023 Hampton, maybe things start looking up a little bit for this system. But right now it was kind of a bit of a slog to write this last time.
Yeah, and we'll see what direction it goes here. Josh, this is the end of the video portion of the Yankees deep dive. For those of you that are sticking around and are on the podcast feed, we got plenty more to come. We'll be right back after this quick break. All right, and we are back. This is the podcast feed. We're breaking down the Yankees top 30 list. Jeff Ponce, Josh Norris. Josh, I'm going to ask you the question that you do not want to answer. We're going to talk about Spencer Jones. Let's talk a little Spencer Jones. There was a period last year where everyone wanted to go nuts because Jones was on a Herculean run for about what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, where he hit a bunch of home runs, moved up to AAA, yada yada yada. Still, there were a ton of concerns. You were always the voice of reason on that one, saying, "Oh, this is still Spencer Jones. The whiff is still pretty bad." You have the floor now. Talk to us a little bit about Jones. Not a top 100 prospect for us. you have him sixth in this Yankee system.
Mm-hmm.
What are the concerns for scouts, et cetera?
Even during that hot stretch, my contention was that he was just getting a lot of really bad pitches from a lot of really bad pitchers and doing what you're supposed to do with them. Every time he hit a home run, I would go look at it. And more often than not, he did have one off my boy Painter, but most of them were 91 to 92 at the belt or hanging whatever. And he was doing what he's supposed to do with them, which great. But unfortunately, he is still 6'7" tall and still has very bad swing decisions, is still vulnerable to spin and is still vulnerable to good velocity. And he swings and misses through way more stuff than he needs to. Like, even, you know, the general manager, Brian Cashman, came out the other day and said he's blocked. Well, yeah, you've got Judge, Grisham, Bellinger, Stanton, and somewhere even Jason Dominguez might be blocked. So I don't see where he plays for the Yankees in 2026. Now, if they trade him, that's another thing, and he could debut with a different club, but he needs to get the swings and misses in order. I said this 2 years ago, and it's like a broken record at this point, but he's the only player in the history of the New York Yankees to strike out 200 times in a season as a minor leaguer. And if he didn't have that stretch on the shelf last year, he would have done it again. It probably. It was like at 180-something. Like, it's just too much because, I mean, it's not rocket science here. Pitchers in the big leagues are better than the pitchers at AAA. Like, you are not going to get that many mistakes of 89 to 92 down the chute. If your mistakes might be like 98. I'm not saying he might not come up and have like a Shane Spencer type of month, but I just don't think he's ready yet. Like, it was a big tell last year when they sent him back to AA after a pretty good counting stat year. Like, he's produced with all these strikeouts. It's not like he's hitting like 5 home runs with 200 punches. He's still hitting, when he makes contact, it still goes very far. And you can see flashes of the ability, but he's got to find a swing that works for him and allows the barrel to stay in the zone for a long time. He's got to make better swing decisions. And unfortunately for him, he cannot get shorter. Like, he tried with some of those stances last year where he was in that deep squat last year to remove some of that strike zone, but it's a hard fit right now, man. And it's not like he's a young man either. Well, relatively speaking, he's almost 25 years old. So I don't know what you do with him right now. I would probably think he's in a different organization come July, but that's just me.
Yeah. I think that's spot on. And I don't even understand the style of hitting from the type of player he is. The fact that his swing decisions are so egregious, like, he's somebody that needs to be passive. Like try to eliminate some of the swing and really like hone in on spots that you're going to attack and swing on. Right. I'd rather see him taking more looking strikeouts and swinging through the amount of pitches that he swings through. And it seems like he's gotten more aggressive as he's moved up as well, which isn't always something that you see with these three true outcome type of hitters. So it almost makes him a little bit more risky. I feel like he has to be the most divisive prospect I can remember since Joey Gallo. And he doesn't have the supporting skills, I think, that
guy. Right. Joey Gallo was a freak athlete. Like,
so is Spencer Jones. So is Spencer Jones.
Not on the same level. Not on the same level.
He's a load in 11. Like, he's a freak, like, of freaks.
I mean, I saw Joey make the Jeter jump throw. Like, it's one of the most
impressive. Baseball skills are better. His baseball skills are better than Jones's.
So who's are?
Gallo's baseball
skills. Well, yeah, Gallo never. For all Gallo's stuff, like, he never struck out 200 times in the minor leagues. He never struck out at the rates Spencer Jones does. And he's also
He was a younger player.
Yeah, he's a high school player.
Exactly.
He was great before that trade to New York. Like, there was a reason he commanded so much stuff in that trade. Like, he was, I don't know if he made the All-Star team, but he was very divisive, certainly, a few years ago during his Rangers tenure in the BA Slack world. For sure. And I think Spencer Jones was a little more divisive last year than he was right now. I mean, I think right now it's just kind of like,
I think it's more negative. Yeah.
Yeah. It is what it is. And I hate to be this guy, like this dream crusher or whatever. And I would love for him to prove me wrong. I've eaten a fair amount of crow in my day and I'm ready for more. That's fine. But there's one big area that's keeping him from achieving his ceiling, and it's not getting better.
It's true. All right, let's move on to some more happy notes. Now you can bring the positive Josh out. Who are some sleepers that are outside of the top 10? I know they traded away a couple of them in the Weathers deal.
But, yeah, they did. Yeah. If you do this 2 months ago, I would have said Brendan Jones, but he's gone. I'm going to get this pronunciation wrong. They told it to me, and I'm going to butcher it. But Mac Hoyer at 12, I don't know how you pronounce that last name. Heuer.
I mean, 12. It's the Yankees, Josh. We saw them pronounce Carlos Legrandjé's name incorrectly from the team account earlier, didn't they?
He allowed me to write my favorite sentence in 14 handbooks, and I will read it to you. When he wasn't on the mound, Hoyer found time to raise an ewe, a female sheep named Oakley, who won grand champion at the 2022 Georgia Junior National Livestock Show. I was so happy when I found that out. Fun fact, too, that animal that judging competition.
Handbook. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it took place in the hometown of our boss, JJ Cooper. So that's there. So I looked up a picture of that sheep. It was pretty cool. So I'm rooting for that kid. I know there was a Tigers guy back in the day that had like a degree in animal husbandry. So that's right up there with that guy. When I saw that, I was like, this is the easiest background I'm going to write. Because, you know, inside baseball America here, writing the backgrounds for guys who haven't thrown a pro pitch is tricky. So when I just kind of went to his webpage at his college, I was like, oh, that's the gold mine. And then, you know, I spent 20 minutes trying to find a picture of this animal. And, you know, that was pretty fun. But he's got some pretty good stuff, too. You know, big fastball. Looks like he's got potential for two average off-speed pitches and maybe a curveball lags a little bit behind, but that's fine. Curveballs are really not in fashion anymore. But big, physical, throws hard, kind of typical Yankees guy. Who else would I put on this list right now of sleeper guys? Boy, it's not a whole lot. They traded Dylan Hosso. Alan Facundo might be a guy to watch. Big, big arm, throws 170 fastball, 60 slider, straight reliever. Maybe a guy who makes noise this year. We'll see what Carson Coleman looks like. You know, he got Rule 5 by the Rangers. And then didn't throw a pitch for them for 2 years. And now he's back. And he looked pretty good at AA last year. Like, I think he's kind of interesting and maybe a guy that zooms to the big leagues this year. You might talk about a guy like Harrison Cohen as well. It's not a whole lot of sleepers right now. It's, like I said, it's a pretty shallow system. So finding sleepers was a little trickier. But there's some stuff to watch as the season goes on.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you for joining me on this Yankees Top 30 deep dive. All those that are tuning in and listening, thank you guys as well. And always a big thank you to all of our subscribers. It's what allows us to do all this work that we do that we really enjoy. For Jeff Ponce, for Josh Norris, this has been another Baseball America Prospect Podcast.